with the book of Hebrews. And I have to tell you, this is the first time in a very long time that I've actually done a verse-by-verse sermon series all the way through an entire book of Scripture. And it has been very enlightening because I've had to do some deeper study, and it's kind of a good thing. Sometimes, when you come in every Sunday after every Sunday, and oh, we're still in the book of Hebrews, you might kind of begin to say, okay, maybe let's do something else. But here's what I want you to know as we go into this, that we are doing two things. It's sort of like a time travel thing. On the one hand, we're reading something that was written to a bunch of Christians who happen to be Hebrews that are struggling with persecution, that are looking at their lives and they're saying, I'm not sure this decision to follow this other guy is really the right thing, because now we can't go to the temple and our friends don't like us anymore and all that. And they were drifting, they were struggling. So the writer to the Hebrews is trying to get them to understand how superior Jesus is to everything else that's come before. Not only is Jesus superior to everything that's come before in their lives from a faith standpoint, that he is actually a continuation of everything that they believed originally. That everything that God's been planning for centuries up to the point this was written, Jesus is simply the continuation of that. And he's trying to get them to see that and to not lose heart and to not drift away and all that. So that's the old time frame that when we go through this. But how about the new term today? Do we live in a time where Christians are beginning to question whether they should tell anybody they're a Christian? Are we living in a time when people are starting to say, well, Christianity is just one of many religions and, you know, there's many ways to heaven? Does that sound familiar? Do we live in a time when you can get into trouble with the law for following the moral dictates of the Bible? Does that sound familiar? So it's important. What the writer to the Hebrews is writing to these Hebrew Christians is very relevant for us today. We need to be encouraged. We live in a time of persecution. We live in a time when the culture is saying this following Jesus thing is actually not the best way to go. So it is relevant for us. So our sermon today, we're in chapter 8. We continue with the idea of eyes on Jesus. Today we want to talk about high priest of a better covenant. So this is when it starts getting interesting. And coincidentally, you may have been asking, as I say, over the past few weeks, so what's the point of all this? Well, I didn't write this, but here's what it says as we begin this text. Now the point in what we are saying is this. We have such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister in the holy places, in the true tent that the Lord set up, not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. Thus it is necessary for this priest also to have something to offer. So I think the writer of the Hebrews was also thinking, well, I've been going on and on about this, so maybe these people are not getting the point. The point is, he's summarizing how great and wonderful and superior Jesus is, and that's what he's been expressing through the previous chapters. Someone say this passage in Hebrews is all about leaving the old and embracing the new, and they are right, but they're also wrong. Wait, how does that work? How can you be right and wrong? Stay tuned. So in recent weeks, Hebrews has been telling us that Jesus is our high priest of a higher order than the Old Testament priest. The perfect high priest who lives forever, so he will be our priest forever. His sacrifice is once and for all, and you'll never need another sacrifice to be made on your behalf. He lives forever. He forever intercedes for you before the Father. He's your representative. He takes care of you. He stands up for you. He looks out for you. But you see, the plan of salvation that we see and we read and we experience in the New Testament, it wasn't developed as an afterthought. It's not like God went through everything that happened in the Old Testament and he comes to Jesus and say, okay, let's reboot the whole thing and start over. No, not at all. It is the fulfillment of promises and prophecies made by the Old Testament writers. The Old Testament writers, the preachers and the prophets. Look at your text. We are in Hebrews chapter 8, and I know you all got your Bibles out, and you got your pens and pencils ready. By the way, in case I haven't said this in a long time, you have my permission to write in your Bible. In fact, I'll go one step further than that. You have my permission to write in your Bible in ink. Have you ever seen the Bible of a senior saint that's dedicated to the Lord, that reads their Bible all the time, and they're just dedicated to the Word of God? Have you ever, when they go, have you ever had the joy of looking at their Bible? I have, many times. And you open up those Bibles, and you know that they read this book all the time, and you open up the book, and you, page after page after page, there's little notes. There's little things underlined. There's little things marked. Some of the little comments don't make any sense to you. But it's a blessing to look at a senior saint's Bible. Because what it tells you is it meant something to them when they read that. Sometime come and ask me to look at my Bible. I've highlighted everything that I've preached at over time. And when I look at this, all these yellow highlights are not what I'm so happy about. What I'm really focusing on, there's a lot in this book that isn't highlighted. So there's lots to be done. The point is, what we're saying is this: we have such a high priest, one who's seated at the right hand. They've made this point over and over and over again, but this is the continuation. Hebrew Christians, we're not telling you to throw everything out and start over. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 8, we go on in verse 4, and it says this: now, if he were on earth, is he Jesus, he would not be a priest at all, since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law. If Jesus was still here, and we call him a high priest, there are other high priests. He would be one of many. Goes on, verse 5, they serve a copy and a shadow of the heavenly things. For when Moses was about to erect the tent, he was instructed by God, saying, see that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown you on the mountain. When Moses was given the instructions to create the tent of meeting, first of all, in that time frame, it was a foreshadowing of what the actual temple of God would look like. But more importantly, the tent and the temple are all meant to be a foreshadowing of what it's going to be like to be with God. We will come to God, except there won't be a curtain between us and the Holy of Holies. Because you know who the Holy of Holies is? It's God himself. So these were all shadows of things that were going to come. So all of the priests of this world, all the living priests, are simply precursors of what Jesus is going to do for us in the coming age. Now, when we hear the word new, our thought process goes to get rid of the old and embrace the new, unless you're women's shoes. There is no throwing out. There's only more new. Or in my case, books. So we're off truth. I had a good friend, a minister of many years. He ran the Atherton Baptist homes. The guy had four doctoral degrees. The guy was an education junkie. And one year, he told us he was getting rid of all of his books. I couldn't understand it. So I went to this house, and this guy had more theology books than a bookstore. Well, he'd gone to all electronic. I took the books. I never throw books away. This isn't about throwing out the old Hebrew Christians. The word new does not mean so much newness as it does the quality. It's not erasing the Old Testament. It's a new and better way of doing things. The new covenant we have in Christ is different than the covenant of the Old Testament. Next week we will have communion. And in the communion practice that we do is to commemorate the new covenant that they're talking about here. There is the old covenant, which is where God said to Abraham, I will bless you, your family will populate the entire earth, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed through you. And all of Old Testament history is him reiterating that promise over and over and over again. But what we forget is over and over again through the Old Testament, there were foreshadowings of a coming Messiah. So even in the Old Testament, the coming Messiah, this Jesus, this priest on the order of Melchizedek, was coming. He was coming. He was coming. So now that he's here, we're not throwing out the old. We're getting a new and clear and better and sharper picture of what God's been trying to do through all of the centuries. The new covenant we have in Christ is different than the old covenant. Several times in the writers of the Hebrews, they use the term better to describe the new covenant of Christ. Look at verse 6. What does it say? But as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry. Christ has obtained a ministry that is as much more excellent than the old, as the covenant he mediates is better, since it is enacted on better premises. Oops, I guess I should advance that. This is the qualitative statement that he's trying to make here. Christ has obtained a ministry that is much more excellent than the old. What ministry is that? The old ministry was the living priest who made sacrifices on behalf of the people.